supposed to did two laps, but I had to go somewhere. And so I did my second lap this afternoon when it was, still wasn't too bad, but it was in the low 80s. I mean, I walk in the high 90s, so low 80s is good. But anyway, so good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And good to have those visiting with us. And our dear brother in the back, this is not your first time being with us. So good to have you back again tonight, brother. And, of course, it's good to have those on Facebook. Never want to take their presence for granted. Appreciate them tuning in. And I'd like to call attention to all of our areas that we broadcast with Facebook and with our on our webpage with a live stream and our little mini radio station that we have when you're passing through Powder Springs. I get to thinking about that sometimes when I'm studying and preparing, and I get excited because from this pulpit, we reach the entire world, and that is so exciting and refreshing for me. But anyway, let's jump into our prayer requests, our praises, and updates. Let me mention a few things, and then I'll open up the floor to you. Brother David Barker, talked to him this week, and he's just requesting a prayer with his pancreatitis. He just seems like he has a lot of episodes with that, and there's really no cure for it, he said, other than just trying to, you know, change the diet, your diet and intake of food. And you know, that's one thing, changing your diet. Another thing is staying on it for a long period of time. But he just requests your prayers on that. Remember him if you would. Jim Jr. reached out to me just a moment ago, Jim Daly Jr., and requested prayer for his ex-brother-in-law, Travis Henry. He said that he needs a transplant. He didn't mention what kind of transplant. I'm thinking kidney maybe. But if he doesn't have it in 2 weeks, then he's just not going to be with us anymore. And so that was on Jim Jr.'s heart this afternoon. So if you would remember him in prayer, that would be great. Miss Dolores Palmer, I called her the other day, and she answered the phone real cheerful-like. At least it sounded like it. It sounded more like herself. I said, Miss Dolores says, sounds good. You sound good today. Sounds more like yourself. You must be getting better. And so she went on to say she's slowly getting better. Of course, she's still healing, and they've got nurses coming in 3 times a week with her and therapy, doctor's appointments. And so it's just going to take a little while longer. But let's remember Miss Dolores in our prayers, Brother Leonard, as she gets well from all of this. And, of course, Miss Dawn Capistrano, her upcoming surgery on the 28th. And Miss Claudia Darby and her health that she is dealing with. Let's remember her. Let's also remember our children's home, Brother Harold, in our prayers. Remember him. And, of course, let's remember Miss Connie Norton with her heart issues. That's Trail Norton's wife, who is, I guess, still at home recovering from that. Just remember her. Brother Jeff Hodges' sister-in-law, Angie, with her heart trouble. Don and Carla Rich, our missionaries of Peru, but also all the other missionaries, foreign and home. Let's remember them. Randy and Diane Ely, again, the Dailies, the Ashworths, all of our shut-ins, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, those in the military, James Tolan Brown, or the one in the military, the Marines, James Tolan Brown, the Navy, Peyton Cochran, and then Kevin Brook at Champion Christian College. And I'll make some announcements in just a moment, but I want to open up the floor to you. If someone has a prayer request or a praise or just something they'd like to mention tonight amongst ourselves. All right, Larry Bennett. Oh, man. Hey, that's good, Hassan.
She says she's giving up a job.
That's good. That's a blessing, Brother Larry, to do that. And I'd get me a little piggy bank and be tucking away some bills if I were you. That's good, Hassan. You've been praying for a job.
Yeah, I have.
And you've been requesting prayer. And see how the Lord answers.
Yeah, and that was
only one day. Yep. Pray every day for work, and the Lord will send it in every day. But that's another blessing about the church, the body of Christ, is that, you know, the work came from a church member, someone in the church. And that's what we do. We look after one another. But thank you, Brother Hassan, for mentioning that. Anybody else? All right. Okay. Unspoken request. All right. All right, Brother, what you got? Amen.
Keep on living,
yes.
I just want to keep on praying for him, for all the children, and for all the teenagers, because
yes.
Sons of our brothers, they're going to be in a situation in school and outside. And
yes. Yes. This is your son?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you for mentioning that tonight. Thank God for looking after us and our loved ones traveling on these roads. You just never know. Never know. Lily has a friend at school, and her dad, they all, in fact, a week before school started, got in an accident. And her dad, his arm was broke, but everybody else was fine. And but, you know, we were talking last night, and it's just a miracle. I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse. And just appreciate the Lord looking after us. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? All right. Well, this coming up Sunday is Baptism Sunday. And we've got eight. We are baptizing eight bodies of the souls that got saved. And I don't know, I just want to take a time out and just shake my finger at the devil and just say he's a liar, say he's no good, and he likes to whisper stuff to get you discouraged, but the Lord does something like this and saves eight souls over a period of time, and to have a service where we're baptizing eight. I just want to say, take that devil and shake my finger in his face, because God is still on the throne. Jesus is still on the throne, and he is moving. He's working. He's doing amazing things, and he's working at this church. This church right here, the Lord is working at. And so I praise the Lord for that. So remember that. Most likely we're going to baptize seven on Sunday morning. And there's one whose family can't be here till that night. And so we're going to baptize one that evening. I was thinking about dividing it up four and four, but there's family that could only be here that morning and not night. So we're going to do that, baptize seven Sunday morning and one Sunday night. And we'll just start service up here Sunday night. In fact, I may start service of me standing in the baptistry on Sunday night. And baptizing, and then may say a few words, and then we'll dismiss and go downstairs and celebrate those who've been saved and baptized. I think that'd be a good touch for Sunday night. So remember that. We're very excited about that. And again, around the corner on the 10th is homecoming, and looking forward to that. And then our choir to sing over at Victory on the 11th. And so we've got some things stirring, and we're excited about these things. Anything else at all to say, to mention? All right. If someone would remind me, I do want to mention something else, but I want to mention it at the end with the camera off. Nothing, no kind of emergency, nothing like that. But I just want it to be personal between us, if If somebody remembers. Miss Leah, I know you remember. If you remind me. All right. Anybody else before we pray? All right. All that would, meet us in the altar. And we will pray this evening. Or you can pray where you're at. Brother Jeff has a song. And then I have our lesson for us. Right. Before I get started, I want to apologize for last Wednesday after service. I kind of said amen and I was gone. I've never done that before. I don't do that. Y'all know I stay around till the last person's here and all. I needed to sit in AC in the car and get cooled off. But anyway, I wanted to apologize to the Wednesday night crowd for doing that. Don't want y'all to think I was trying to be mean or, you know, skip town, leave you. Definitely wasn't trying to do that. But anyway, just needed some air. 1 Timothy tonight, chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We have spent a handful of Wednesday nights talking about, basically this is what I've named the series, what we've been talking about. The pastor, the deacons, and the church. The pastor, the deacons, and the church series. And many times I really don't know I'm going to be in a series until I'm done with it. And then I label it and file it away. And then later on I have a complete series. That's how I get my series, as the Lord directs me to them. But we've been talking about that, the pastor, the deacons, and the church series. We've talked about qualifications of the pastor. We started last week talking about the qualifications of the deacon, part one. And we didn't get into the qualifications then, but we are tonight. And again, you know, my thought is this. Why speak about this? You know, you might ask, or I ask myself that. I constantly examine why my intention on sharing anything at any given time in church, why, you know, share this? Well, again, it's just to refresh ourselves in the areas of these specific areas, to refresh ourselves so we know what's expected from all of us, what's expected from me, what's expected from the deacons, but then what's expected from you. And that's it. That's the long and short of it. And today I was thinking about, well, on Wednesday nights we've been talking about the church offices and going to get into the church members soon. We're having baptism this coming Sunday, and I want to have communion soon. The last communion we had was Christmas time. And so really we're revisiting those fundamentals of the faith, really, the basics, some of the first things of the church that's to be understood. And from time to time you have to do that. You have to just go back to the ground and work your way up, and no stone unturned, everything accounted for. You know, it's like the man with his mower mowing the grass, going through high grass, and he barrels a path down through there, and then he backs up to see if he missed anything, and then goes again, and backs up and goes again. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to interlace all of our teaching and our preaching, trying to preach the Bible, the whole Bible. You can preach the whole Bible the best you can, and then discover there's so much more Bible left to be preached and taught. And so that's what I'm doing. We're just trying to go back to the elementary things and work our way up. And so that's our intention for this, is to do that. And, of course, there's always something in these lessons, whether we're talking about the pastor role, the deacon's role, and, of course, the role of the church member or the church attender. There's always a lesson in all of that. Before I get started, I've asked Brother Ceylon off the cuff, just now, right before I started, if he would like to come. I said, how you feel tonight, brother? And I said, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to teach. I know he would. But I just want him to come around and just, you know, say, hey, this is how long I've been a deacon. This is what being a deacon's meant to me. Just really whatever's from your heart. I think it'll be a good touch on the lesson tonight as we start. And, Bro Ceylon, you just, you know, go follow the Lord, speak from your heart, whatever you have and however long you have, that's fine with me.
David Aiken in this church. We just, Terrell and I, just held this meeting at least here. Just celebrated this month, matter of fact, August, 49 years in this church. Probably the only one that's been there for the tongue, been here that long anyway.
right, brother.
I probably got in trouble right there. You do.
Hey.
You can.
Preach on.
I'm saying you can, but do you?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That is.
And I just want to, I didn't mean to take this time.
No, brother.
I just want to say to you, the deacons can be of service to you. You would call me, I'd call one of them. We would do everything we could do to be of help to you.
Amen.
To be of help to the church. That's our good.
Amen. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Brother Ceylon. You know, we talked about increasing in numbers, the deacons being there and helping with the logistics and the physical aspects of the church, and as a result of that growing in number and all, the love aspect, being there, not just for church members, but things as well in the community, if need be. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, Brother Justin, what do you think one of your strongest characteristics is about Calvary, Calvary Baptist Church? And I didn't have no time to prepare for that answer, but what came to my heart was, I said one word. What I think we have here at Calvary, I don't know about other churches. I'm sure they have there. I'm sure they have it too. But I said, it's been my experience for 5 years that we have this one word. And I believe that God will bless our church because of this one word. And that is the word love. Love. Love covereth a multitude of sins. It was the love of God that allowed His Son to come and go to the cross. And I think that if we operate out of love and reach out to the community by love and show people love that come in here, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, red, purple, got polka dots, don't matter, you know, none of those things. Hey, we're a church here for everybody, all nations, tongues, everybody is accepted here at this church. And so I appreciate what Brother Ceylon said. Appreciate Brother Ceylon, Brother Don, Brother Jeff, your wives, thank you so very much, and all of our other deacons, again, that we use here, Brother Harold, of course, CJ and Brian as well, two of our younger ones coming along, but we need some younger ones, and CJ and Brian, been here for a number of years, as you know, and have proven themselves. And so appreciate those men as well. I didn't leave anybody out, did I? Our deacons. Okay, I didn't think so. But what a blessing. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to mention these qualifications. I want to see Lon to say what he said, to come share a few things so it could add a little bit to the classroom style lesson. And 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 8. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 8. The Bible says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, in great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All right, that's reading 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 down through verse number 13. And I just want to say what I said when it comes to the pastor's role. There's an office here, And then there's a person. We see the office, and then we see the person. When we talked about the pastor's role, the bishop role, the elder role, the overseer role, the office was that of a bishop. And then we talked about the person and mentioned all these characteristics. Same thing for the deacon, the office of a deacon, and then the person of the deacon. Now, I want to call your attention to verse 8 and the word likewise. I believe the word likewise is referencing everything that was said about the bishop role, the pastor role. So, likewise, in same fashion, must the deacons do these things. And then he goes on and he mentions the qualifications of a deacon. I believe it's in reference to everything that the pastor is to qualify for, the same for the deacons at large. Likewise, must the deacons be grave? Must be grave. First, before I talk about the word grave, let me mention one more time the word deacon. The office of a deacon. The word deacon means a servant or waiter. A deacon takes care of the physical and logistical needs of the church. Like Brother Ceylon said, the word that I called him and Jeff and Don, shock absorbers. Shock absorbers. You know, sometimes we hit these places in ministry. Things happen occasionally. And I'm just thankful for these men that they come alongside me. They have enough wisdom and foresight many times to see it coming. They know what's happened, and they're here to help me. And I'll just say, I'm not too prideful to say, I'm a younger man. And you men have been alive longer than I have. You men have been in the ministry. You men serve the church. And there's times where I go to you men and will go to you men if I haven't yet. We'll go to you and ask your opinion on something, what to do. Because you've been there and you've done that. And so I'm very thankful for my shock absorbers. And what a blessing they are. And so the deacons, they handle the affairs of the church, physical, logistical. And so that's the role of the deacon. And the person, he says, likewise must the deacons be grave. Be grave. That simply means honorable, respectable, or esteemed, or serious. Must be serious. Sober-minded, honest report. Men, listen to this, men who inspire respect. A good godly deacon who is serious and sober-minded, who is of honest report, who is grave, who is motivated by love, will inspire respect. People will respect you, men. A deacon will be respected because of their office and how well they occupy that office. At least our deacons, the only deacons I know of, whom I serve with, is they occupy their office well. They're well respected. And really, any position in the church, anything you do for the Lord, if you do it well, it will inspire respect. People will respect you for going the extra mile, for studying for that lesson, for putting together that art project or game time or whatever it is. You will inspire respect. And of course, that's just to reflect the Lord, the respect that we inspire. And so the first word is grave. And then we're going to move on to the second word, the second phrase, and that is, he says, not double-tongued. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. A lot of these words really don't need definition, but we're going through these qualifications, so we're going to mention them by definition. Not double-tongued. Basically, that means not say one thing to one person, then say something different to someone else. It's not two-faced or insincere. And that's a qualification of a deacon. If he says one thing to one person, it ought to be the same thing to the next person, because these are men who are standing on the Word of God. They are operating out of love. And when they talk to people, they handle situations. It's the same thing to everybody. They have nothing to hide. They're sincere about it. And they're telling the truth. So That is a big qualification, not being double-tongued. So we see that there, and we won't get into any past stories of some of my former dealings with other deacons from other churches. I'll say that I love the two churches that I served at. I love the people there. I love the deacons there. But I will say this. This church has been the very best church and very best set of deacons I've ever served with. I haven't had to worry about double tongues. I hadn't had to worry about snake bites. You know what I'm saying? No stab in the backs, nothing like that. You men are awesome. I mean, I love you. You served right beside Brother Snyder for all those years and beyond, 49 years. Brother Ben and whoever else may have pastored during that time. And I've had experiences with some who were dictators and some who acted like they did run the church and some that tried to run me out of the church because they thought I wasn't the best fit and everybody else in the church thought I was. And so I thank God for you deacons that you're not double-tongued, that you are grave, you're sober-minded, you're serious, but most of all, you have a heart full of love. And praise the Lord for, again, love is the thing we need to operate out of, and you men do that. And you church members do that too. You operate out of love, and I appreciate that. But we're going to talk about y'all next week. I just want to let you know that we love you and you operate out of love this week. So, but anyway, we're not going to be talking about you next week. You know what I mean? We're going to be discussing things. Look at the next one. Not given to much wine is what he says. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. A lot of controversy over the subject of alcohol and the offices of the church. Well, if the bishop is forbidden to drink, the deacons are forbidden to drink. You can go back in the Old Testament and look at the offices of the tabernacle and those who served, they were forbidden to drink. Let me just say it this way. The deacon nor the pastor can be an addict of any kind. You cannot, a bishop cannot oversee a church. A pastor cannot lead a church if he's an addict. Deacons can't deek if they're addicts. Now listen, I'm not putting me or them on a pedestal. In fact, it's a very sober calling, isn't it, men? Very sober every day. It's such a sober and heavenly calling that you either do it or you don't. But saying that, it doesn't matter if it's alcohol, drugs, anything. I mean, the subject of addiction can go many ways. We could talk about, we're not going to get into food tonight. We're not going to get into food. We want to sweep that under the rug. But food, listen, back in May, I'm not going to say that I have a food addiction. I just like to eat. Maybe I'm in a little bit of denial. But back in May, I made a choice. And you've heard me say it. I want to lose weight. And I want to get healthy. I've said it. Been here 5 years. At least three times I've said it from this pulpit. I want to lose weight, get healthy. And I'll lose 30, 40 pounds. And I went right back. Well, I made a choice this time. Back in May. May the 9th. I made a choice that I want to get healthy. Being a diabetic, for me, that was a burden I carried in my mind and my heart. You know, well, if I'm a diabetic now and if I don't get healthy, what's next? I mean, I have a grandfather who had to have a toe amputated. You know, in others and things like that, it's a very serious thing. And I got to thinking about, you know, how I didn't feel my best and, you know, being winded and things like that. And so I want to tell you, I put all my eggs in one basket, and I really made a decision to get healthy. And since from May to today, I'm down 70 pounds. And I'm on track by the end of next month to hit 100 pounds in 5 months. Thank you. Hey, I may lose so much weight. You may see the invisible man.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I've always been one where I got to be all in or I'll just play around with something, you know. And this is something that's going to last. I surpassed what I normally lose, and I've dealt with a lot of emotions. And what I'm getting at is the whole food thing. You know, there's still the emotion of every time the Braves game's on, I want to pick up the phone and order Marco's pizza. And, you know, chicken wings, every time. That emotion is there. But if I'm going to have long-term success and get healthy, I've got to deal with that emotion. And would you believe that I can watch the Braves game now, having fasted for most of the day? Not only do I diet, but I do intermittent fasting because it gives your organs a break. I mean, off at a distance, Marco's pizza. But I've been reaping the benefits of getting healthy, and I don't want to stop. I want to keep going. I told Lily the other day, I said, I want to lose so much weight, all you see is a set of eyeballs floating. I'll turn into the invisible man. yes, I've come to get fitted for my suit. But anyway, I don't want to be under the power of anything. Whether it's food, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs. Listen, none of us, me, the deacons, we're not exempt from all that. And none of you are exempt from that. But I don't want to be an addict to anything. And so I spend my days, being quite honest with you, I spend my days trying to walk in the Spirit, trying to not be in bondage to anything. Because, I mean, it comes at you. Can we just be honest tonight? You live your life in this broken world. There are things, there are allurements that come at you, no matter what age you are, that try to wrap you up and get you to a place where it has power over you. And so, you know, I feel like Paul said over in Romans 7, he talked about the fight between the flesh and the spirit. And, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul knew there was a battle going on, and he did his best to not sin. And so that's what I do. I want to stay at a place of freedom right there in the middle. I don't want to be too far on this side that my walk with God's not close. And yet, of course, I don't want to be too far over here where I'm not thinking about the Lord, but somewhere right there in the middle where I'm conscious, I have self-awareness, I know what I can do, I know what I can't do, and just stay straight. That's what he says, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but stay straight ahead. Not giving to much wine is a qualification of the deacons and the pastor, not an addict. Such person that's an addict lacks self-control and is undisciplined. And so we're not getting into, well, is it okay, you know, to have, you know, a drink once a week and all of that. Well, can I tell you how I feel about that? Zero tolerance. A teetotaler. Absolutely no alcohol at all. And some don't agree with that. There are some Christians who are social drinkers, and that's between them and the Lord. But just zero tolerance, none at all. And so, not given to much wine is what the Scripture says, not to be an addict. And if you ask addicts, you know, the person who is an alcoholic spending their paycheck on it, if you ask them, so let me guess, you always wanted to be an alcoholic, what would they say? No, I didn't want to be an alcoholic. Well, how'd you start to be an alcoholic? I had a drink, and it just really alleviated my stress, and I went back for another one. And then it snowballed, and now they're addicts. And listen, I'm not throwing a blanket statement across everybody and saying that, you know, if you drink one, you'll be an addict. What I'm saying is just abstain totally. You ain't got to worry about it. But that's all it takes is one drink, one smoke, one of those things. What I am saying is zero tolerance is the best way to go. And it all starts with one drink, one smoke, and all the rest of it. Now, let me move on from that one. And then in verse number 8, that last phrase, not greedy of filthy lucre. Listen to this. Not a deacon cannot be a lover of money. Why is that? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because deacons at times have to handle the finances of the church. And if there's a deacon who's a lover of money, who has this issue of money and a great love of it, and so money's okay to have as long as money doesn't have you. And so he says, not greedy of filthy lucre. How many times do you hear in the church, not this church, but in the church world, on the news, what have you, of a pastor, a deacon, someone in position that you know, everybody thought the money was going to the treasury and a large portion was going to an assistant or the pastor or somebody in position, a secretary even. I've heard of that. And just a sad, sad commentary, you know. Deacons or pastors aren't perfect. But it's all about the understanding of the call. And I believe it's the parable of the tower. And the writer says that you must sit down and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it or not, to even do it. There's a cost that has to be counted before you say, I do, to this position. And so not greedy of filthy lucre. And then he says in the very next verse, verse number 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. I believe where Paul says the mystery of the faith is another way of saying the gospel. So he says holding the gospel in a pure conscience. And so the deacon is to hold firm the gospel without wavering. Not only in belief, he must stand firm in his beliefs of what he believes concerning the Bible, his beliefs, he must stand firm in his beliefs, but also behavior. Behavior. The behavior of the deacon must be consistent with the gospel he believes. But guess what? It doesn't just start with, it doesn't stop with the deacons or the pastor. That's good medicine in Bible for all of us. You know, if we are strong believers, we believe the Bible strongly, then we must also have a behavior that's consistent with our strong beliefs. Keep in mind, we're witnesses in this world, and I'm preaching to me tonight, that I want to continue to have a consistent walk. I mean, get up here and preach Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday. And don't you know when I leave here that, somebody knows me as a preacher in a community. Not saying everybody will think this way, but there may be some out there waiting on me to fail so they can say that I was a hypocrite. Or, there just may be those in the community that say, hey, there's Brother Justin. You know, I've got to watch my walk. I got to make sure that I'm thorough and I got to make sure that my heart is to God only, because it can bring reproach on the name of the Lord and the church. And so he says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And when the deacon his behavior is consistent with his beliefs, he's going to have a pure conscience. When the Christian, when their behavior is consistent with their beliefs, they're going to have a pure conscience. And I'm not saying this is why a lot of, or some Christians don't come to church, but a lot of them don't come to church because their behavior isn't consistent with their beliefs and it's bothering their conscience and conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they know if they go, the preacher's going to preach and preach right to them, and they just don't come. And so the goal is to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. It is a qualification for the deacons. Verse number 10. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Let them also first be tested. That word proved means tested. then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So when Paul says the candidate for a deacon must first be proved, then they serve as deacons if being found blameless. Blameless refers to a person's overall character. Well, where's the layout of that? How do you prove a deacon? Is that spelt out in the Bible? It may be somewhere, but I jotted down just a couple things. Character is number one. Just set aside some time, you know. We used to call it in another church, watch care. Many times that was in reference to someone who wanted to join the church. They'll be under watch care. And the whole church announced it. So-and-so is under watch care. And it just sounded like they were like someone, you know, who might escape from prison or something. And they're under watch care. And so I said, let's just keep that kind of quiet. Let me talk to them. And, you know, if everything, you know, balances out and they want to join for the right reasons, they're saved, you know, then we'll take it another step. But there is a kind of watch care. Paul says it. He says, let these also first be proved. There must be a time of proving of yourself. If they're found blameless, then they can be a deacon. But I did think of a couple things. At minimum, if someone is a candidate to be a deacon under watch care, at minimum, there should be a background check. There should be looked into their reputation, their theological beliefs. And I'll go a step further, and this is something that I'm going to start here, and I know the deacons would be fine with it. I think we may have even talked about it a little bit. But this would be good for someone that we don't know that maybe has been coming that says they want to join the church. Well, first, let me just ask you, why do you want to join our church? Number one, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Yes. Well, what can you see yourself doing at our church? And then, because of the day and time we live in, we need to do a background check. And some don't believe that, but I want to tell you what. The Bible says some creep in unaware. And I want to say that we have sex predators in our communities. I'm not saying that someone don't deserve a second chance. But what I'm saying is there are men who and women who have been to prison for child molestation. And if nobody else says it, I'll say it. There needs to be background checks. If you are going to a church, you want to join a church where you're working with children, I think it would be great to do a background check. And if somebody don't understand that and they get offended, then they don't need to be a member anyway, because this is our flock and we're trying to protect our fold. And so at a minimum for a deacon, background check, reputation, theological beliefs, and so this will be well also for church membership. I haven't fully arrived at that thought yet, but it has been something crossing my mind a lot, trying to protect who we have here. I do want to say this, that Brother Jeff, I've known you and Miss Sharon now for a total of 6 years. So 6 years, I've known everybody here for 6 years, pretty much, minus one or two that just started coming. The first year, as you know, Brother Snyder's assistant, but we've been here for 6 years total as a church member. And the deacons and I were talking once upon a time, and your name came up as a deacon, and to be a deacon, you and Miss Sharon being your wife. And I could, at that time, I said, I can't think of any greater man to be a deacon than Jeff Hodges. From what I've learned of you at that time, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that? And we've had much more time since then, serve together, do different things together, visits together. And in my estimation, before or right when Brother Jeff was asked, he had already proven himself. There was no need for Brother Jeff Hodges to prove himself to be a deacon. That's why he was asked to be a deacon, because he has proved himself. So this whole idea of, and I wanted to put that in there, because it really means something to me, being able to ordain you as a deacon. So there's supposed to be this time of proving or testing. And many times when you're going to church with your church family and men have been there for years, the proving has already taken place. Their character found blameless. Think about CJ and think about Brother Brian. I mean, you know, been here for years. Let's move on to verse number 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. A lot like the deacon himself, but he says the word grave is the same word for the deacon to be grave. Serious, honorable, those different words we used a moment ago. Serious, honorable, sober-minded, honest report. All of those things under the word grave. Deacons' wives ought to be serious. And you are. And God bless you for that. You're wonderful. Not slanderers. We talked about that a little bit. But in these words here, not slanderers. Not a gossip queen. Not a gossip queen. Y'all have heard of that statement before, haven't you? I know when I was growing up in school, oh, they're gossip queens, gossip kings and gossip queens. Well, but that's good medicine for all of us. Nobody should gossip. Nobody. It's one thing if you go to someone and say, hey, I have a burden on my heart. I have a prayer request. I'm sharing it with you. Help me pray about it. That's one thing. You're wanting a solution. But if you're not wanting a solution and you're just talking about something because it's the latest, that's gossip. If it brings negativity on someone, not knowing the full story, it's gossip. Someone said one time, gossip is like ripping a pillow apart and the wind blowing all the feathers out of it and scattering all over the road, all over the ground. And then, once the situation gets ironed out, trying to take back what you said about someone is like trying to go and collect all those feathers. You just can't do it. The damage has been done. And so this high calling of a deacon is also a high calling for the wives, not to be gossip queens. And to my estimation, my knowledge, you're not. And so thank you for that. And haven't heard no gossip in the church, so thank you, church members, for that. Just take it to the Lord in prayer, and we ain't got to worry about it if something comes up. All right, I'm hurrying. Verse 11 again. Not slander, sober, temperate, self-control, faithful in all things. The deacon's wife ought to be faithful to her God, ought to be faithful to her husband, ought to be faithful to their families and faithful to the church. That goes without explanation. Faithful in all things. You might say, well, so-and-so deacon and their wife hadn't, been to church in a few weeks, or they missed this and missed that. Well, look, things are going to happen in life. At times people get sick. At times there's things going on that families are trying to solve problems. Give them a little time. They'll be back serving faithfully in all things again. Verse number 12. We'll bring it to a close in just a second. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. So that first statement, same thing for the pastor. It doesn't mean one wife at a time, like some have said. But a faithful husband is a one-woman man. Listen to this. He must not be, there must not be no other woman in his life to whom he relates in an intimate or emotional way. The deacon, again, is to be a one-woman man, husband of one wife, a faithful husband. One-woman man must not be no other women in his life to whom he relates in an intimate or emotional way. And so that's my conclusion on that. Verse number 12, and then he says, ruling their children and their own house as well. A deacon must be the spiritual leader of his wife and his children. The family ought to reverence his role at home, yet he shouldn't be a dictator, but a loving leader at home and church. That should be, or that's the qualification there of a deacon, ruling their children in their own house as well. Where it says ruling, that doesn't mean, you know, with a strong arm, you know, make me dinner. You know, clean them dishes, kids. 6 a.m., bright-eyed bushy-tailed, come on. That ain't what it means. Now, there's some who do that. See if they get any respect from their wife or their kids. Anybody, any man who rules his house that way. So, a deacon must be the spiritual leader of his wife and his children. The family ought to reverence his role at home, yet he shouldn't be a dictator but a loving leader at home and church. Lastly, verse 13, we're done. This isn't a qualification, but it's how Paul ends the thought. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, For they that have used the office of a deacon well, that's how I read it, purchase to themselves a good degree in great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Or you can read it, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves. Either way. But here's the thought on that, and we're done. Basically, it means that by the faithful performance, because this can be wordy here in this verse, it can be wordy. By the faithful performance of the duties of the office of a deacon and the experience gained in that position, he would establish a character of firmness in the faith, which would show that he was a dedicated Christian and worthy of respect because of his service. There's a lot in that verse, and it can be it's kind of wordy if you ask me, but it's God's word, and so we do our best to understand it. Again, by the faithful performance of the duties of the office of a deacon and the experience gained in that position, he would establish a character of firmness in the faith, which would show that he was a dedicated Christian and worthy of respect because of his service in that role. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That'll conclude tonight the qualifications of a deacon part 2. And we'll stop there in verse number 13. And again, we've talked about pastors and deacons, and we will present to you the church on next Wednesday, and we're still working on that, and so pray for us as we work that out. But I hope you enjoyed the lesson tonight. I hope it was a blessing to you. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn the camera off and share something with you. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for tonight's lesson. We thank you for Brother Ceylon and the words he spoke. Thank you for those men, Brother Jeff and Brother Don, and of course Harold and CJ and Brian. Lord, we just thank you for these men and what they mean to us. I pray that everyone here receives something from the word, and Lord, may we use what we hear, what we learn, what we've been refreshed on to make us better and to share with the lost and dying world. Keep us safe as we go home and bring us back safely on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Missy Ellen, if you go ahead and press stop on that.